Welcome back, listeners, to Unexplained. I'm your co-host, Amanda Heiler, and I'm with my dad.
That's right. I'm Steve White. From myths and legends to personal stories, we're here to talk about the interesting, the odd, and the unexplained.
All right. So, Dad, I'm thinking today feels like a day for a ghost story. What do you think?
I agree. It's been kind of a long time. I've been really looking forward to it.
Me too. So today, actually, I want to tell my favorite ghost story.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the first time that I heard this ghost story, I'm not going to lie, I was a little kid and I was hiding in a hallway looking over Grandma and Grandpa's shoulders while they were watching Unsolved Mysteries. I know. You could say my fascination with the unexplained, I guess, started a little bit early.
Okay.
But it haunted me for a long time. I was really, really afraid of this particular ghost story. So as an adult, I've done a little bit more investigating in it, and I think this story is definitely worth telling.
Well, let's hear it.
All right, here we go. Okay, so my favorite ghost story is actually a piece of folklore that comes out of Chicago, Illinois. And it is the case of Resurrection Mary. So I'm sure some of our listeners have heard about Resurrection Mary. There's lots of different stories about like what exactly happened, who Mary is, and how people have been interacting with her since the 1930s. So it's kind of your classic vanishing hitchhiker story. So I'm gonna give you a couple of different takes on what exactly happened with this particular story. So supposedly, here's the legend. Mary and her boyfriend had gone out dancing at the O. Henry Ballroom. And this is in Chicago, Illinois on Archer Avenue. And they're having a nice night. She's dressed up. She's got on a beautiful formal white dress. And at some point they get into an argument and Mary ends up leaving. So I guess they say that she left the ballroom and she was sort of storming down Archer Avenue, walking away. She hadn't gotten very far when she was struck and killed by a hit and run driver. And so sadly, this driver fled the scene, leaving Mary to die. And since then, there have been plenty of different sightings of Mary. So most of these are involving men who are driving, and they will see a young woman who's standing on the side of the road hitchhiking. She's been described as wearing a white dress. She's got blonde hair and blue eyes, and she will enter their vehicle and supposedly get into the car, and they'll try and talk to her and take her on a drive, and then she will just disappear in the car. There's also been several different sightings, one in 1976, 1978, 1980, and 1989, which involved cars thinking that they had struck her. And so these drivers will be going and they will think that they've hit a woman outside of Resurrection Cemetery. And then when they get out of their vehicle to figure out what happened, there's no body, there's no one there. And so I think that's pretty, pretty crazy, pretty scary. There's an article that I ran into that I thought was really, really fascinating that was from the ChicagoReader.com. And I just wanted to share a couple of excerpts from it. It's in the arts and culture section, and it's in an article entitled Meet Resurrection Mary, the Ghost of Archer Avenue. Chet's Melody Lounge still pours a Bloody Mary for her every Sunday. I thought that was kind of cool. So essentially what has happened with this lounge is it's like a classic roadside tavern. Exactly the way that you would picture it, right? It's got a pool table, they've got a jukebox, popcorn machine, a large clientele of bikers, according to this article, and they have an unusual tradition. Every Sunday, the staff leaves a Bloody Mary at the end of the bar for the ghost. And again, that ghost is Resurrection Mary, and she has haunted that stretch of Archer Avenue since the 1930s. There is a man there named Vince who has liked to tell his story of Resurrection Mary, and he's been telling this story for decades. And so I wanted to share some of his account because I thought it was pretty, pretty creepy. So it says that he had gone out dancing and he got all dressed up, put on his favorite suit, and he cruised Archer Avenue with a top down in his Chevy Cabriolet, and the night was warm. He, you know, was all done up, had his hair done nice, and he was kind of nervous, right? So he's going to go out dancing, and he's hoping that he's going to have the courage to ask a girl to dance. So he spends like the first half hour or so trying to work up some liquid courage to ask the girl to dance. And eventually he ends up seeing this pretty blonde girl sitting in a white dress, and he casually goes up and asks if she wants to cut a rug. And so the girl smiles at him and starts doing the jitterbug with him, right? They dance and they dance, and there's so many good songs that he doesn't even actually have time to chit chat much with her. He's just dancing and having a really nice time with her. Eventually, the music slows down, and so they hit this slow dance, and he ends up noticing that the girl has really cold hands, and her skin feels kind of brittle. And so he said that Mary seemed to notice that he noticed. So he made kind of a lighthearted remark and said, "Cold hands mean that you have a warm heart." And so she smiled, and they end up dancing together for the rest of the night. So after the final number, Vince offers Mary a ride home. And he said that she told him her place was just a straight shot up Archer. And so she enters the car with him. They drive north a few miles, and Mary begins insisting that he pull the car over. And so she has him pull the car over right outside the locked gates of Resurrection Cemetery, which, as you can imagine, if you're driving down the road and someone is asking you in the middle of the night to be dropped off at a cemetery, that's pretty crazy. So apparently she ends up telling him, "I have to go, and you can't follow me." And he said that she walked toward the gate, laid her hand on the iron chain that bound the gates together, and just vanished into thin air. And so he ends up spending the entire night driving up and down Archer Avenue looking for her. At dawn, when the cemetery gates are open, he drives through the rows of tombstones, and he's looking again for this woman, and he can't seem to find her. He said he did recall that she had told him where her house was. So it was a brick bungalow just up the street. And so he goes and knocks on the door, and he asks the woman, who's a middle-aged woman, is Mary home, when she answers the door. And the woman ends up telling him, you know, Mary doesn't live here anymore. She died in a car accident 4 years ago. Who are you? And he lies. He says he knew Mary in high school. And so they kind of talk about it. And she said, you know, she was surprised he didn't know that Mary had passed away. And he explained that he had just moved back to Chicago from college. And the woman ends up saying, you know, that Mary had gone out dancing with some boys that she worked with, and she didn't actually make it to the dance hall, that the boys crashed the car, and Mary was thrown through the windshield and died on the way to the hospital. And so Vince said, you know, he's talking to this woman, and she tells him, if you want to visit Mary, you can visit her at her grave. She's buried at Resurrection Cemetery. And as she was saying that, he says that he saw behind her a picture, and in that picture, it was the same woman that he'd been dancing with the night before. So I don't know, that story has always kind of given me the chills. I think it's pretty crazy and really interesting. I would love to hear from any of you who have happened to be in Chicago, if anybody's had an encounter with Mary. I think that would be fascinating to hear your story. But for now, I would love to have Dad actually share with us. One of our listeners wrote in a couple months ago, and she has some pretty creepy stories that she shared. So let's hear some more about those.
I received an email, and I feel bad that I didn't get the opportunity to put this one together a little bit sooner, but Kim from Jacksonville, Florida, she sends us this email, and I'm just going to read the email. It says, "Hi guys, I've been enjoying your podcast. I have a few experiences that I'd like to share. A few years back, my sister came to me about a reoccurring dream about numbers. The first set of numbers, she was unsure of what they meant. The second set of numbers, she was certain that it was the age of someone's death and was concerned it was mine. It bothered her so much that she'd contacted a medium to explain what her dream meant because they had went on for weeks. The medium confirmed that what she was thinking, and one of the numbers supposedly is an age someone will pass, and told her to just be careful. Again, my sister called me up and told me to be really careful. A few weeks later, my sister was injured in a home robbery. She was in the ICU for quite a while. Once she was stabilized, she was moved out of the ICU, and at this point, she was still in a coma. And I was sitting outside her room, and I was just looking up and praying, and I realized that her room number was one of the numbers she had dreamt about. She had ended up in a nursing home from her injuries and passed away a year ago at the same age that was in her dream." What do you think of that? I mean, isn't that just absolutely bizarre?
Yeah, that's super bizarre. I don't know about you. I mean, I've definitely had dreams where, like, I'll have a conversation or I'll see a number, and then like weeks or months later, I'll see the number again in real life, or I'll have a conversation and be like, wow, I already had this conversation with you.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. I remember having a dream one time, and it was, you know, my grandparents had long passed away, and they were pretty important in my life. And I'm not saying that I don't sit and think about them every day, but there's things about them that I'll see and it'll remind me of them. But anyway, in the dream, I come walking into a high school cafeteria, and it just happened to be the high school I graduated from almost 40 years ago. Anyway, I walked in there, and there's a row of tables that were set up kind of separating the middle of the cafeteria. And I'm like, why am I here? And so I walk up to the tables, and on the other side, it's my grandparents. They come walking up, and they sat down, and we had a wonderful conversation just talking about stuff. They're telling me that they're doing great. And, you know, we just chatted for the rest of this dream. And, you know, then I was like, well, hey, you know, you guys got to go. And I wanted to, of course, go with them, but I couldn't get on the other side of these tables. So, you know, I don't know. Was that kind of separating where they were at? And, you know, wasn't my time to go over on the other side of the table? I'm not sure. But I got to say, I really woke up enjoying that dream. It was just a great time.
That's awesome.
Well, I have one other part to this email that Kim sent us. And I'd like to put that out here for you guys. She says that another experience I want to share is a few unexplained events that family and friends have had in my house. This is just one of many personal experiences. My husband and I were in the room talking, and he made a husbandly comment about the way I looked from behind. And yeah, it's guys, none of us have ever made comments like that. And so from behind the closed door and in the hallway, a deep voice said, "Yeah, me too." My husband immediately jumps up, runs through the house. All the doors are closed. Everything is locked and there's nobody in my house. And we both heard the same voice. Now that's pretty creepy, I gotta say. And says that another event involved my daughter-in-law. When my son and her was living in my house, my daughter-in-law was sleeping on the couch and woke up in the middle of the night and seen a dark-skinned woman dressed in very old clothing staring at her while she was asleep. And she didn't think much about it and rolled over and went back to sleep. I don't know that I could just roll over and go back to sleep after that. Years later, she mentioned it to me because my granddaughter, who is now living in my house, has been telling me about a woman that looks like a slave staring at her while she's sleeping. Ooh. Yeah, that's pretty rough. And just to make the story short, since my daughter-in-law and my granddaughter came out with this, multiple family members have mentioned that they heard their names being called and seeing things in the hallway and bedrooms, hearing knocking on the bedroom doors when no one's home. Recently, I started noticing a little more happening. I feel the edge of the bed sink like someone had just sat down. There's just so many unexplained experiences that are still happening. Thank you for letting me share. Well, Kim, I got to tell you, I really appreciate that you sent this in to us. I wish we would have had the opportunity to put it together and put it out there on the podcast sooner. But thank you. And hey, you know, like Amanda was saying a few moments ago, if there's anybody else out there that has a story that they'd like to tell, we would like to tell it for you. We'd like to get it up here on the podcast. And, you know, everybody has something to talk about, I'm sure.
That's true. We do. Yeah, it's funny, actually, when you're telling Kim's story and you're talking about how, you know, this random voice happened to respond to a conversation between her and her husband. It kind of made me think of when I was pregnant with my daughter, her grandmother, so my husband's grandmother passed away. And after she was born, it was so weird because we had more than one time where we would be talking and all of a sudden we would hear a female voice who had said like, "Hi, baby," or had responded. And it was always around Emma. So I don't know if it happened because, you know, his grandmother passed while I was pregnant and never got the opportunity to meet Emma and she just wanted to check her out or what, but Nathan heard it too. So it wasn't just me. I will say, you know, after you have a baby, you kind of get a little tired there for a minute. So.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I was like, maybe I'm hearing something, but.
Yeah, I've had a few situations where, you know, Grandma Gum lived in our house with us here and stayed with us until she had passed away. And, you know, we've had situations where she would sit at this computer and she would play video games on there. And, you know, we would have like a slot machine thing on the computer screen. And it was like, what? You know, or I could swear, maybe it was just wishful thinking or missing her terribly. I'm not sure, but I would hear my name. And, you know, so I would still to this day, walk into my house and I go, "Hello," you know, like I did whenever she was living here. And I always expected her to, return my greeting back to me. So yeah, I think that's pretty interesting. I don't know about this whole, feeling something sitting on the edge of your bed. I think that'd be a little unnerving, kind of.
Yeah, I'm out on that. I'm going to go with a big giant no on that one.
Yeah, I think I'd be more in tune to maybe someone saying, "Hello, baby."
That's fair. All right. Well, listeners, it has been a pleasure, and we hope to hear from you soon. If you happen to have a story that you would like to share with us, we would love, absolutely love it, if you would send us an email at unexplainedpodcast2021@gmail.com, or you can look us up on Facebook at Unexplained. We are happy to hear what you guys have going on, hear what you think about some of our stories, and we look forward to hearing from you soon.